Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you again. I don't know, they were talking about this sacred water back here, but it looks a little bit like the water in Rio to me back here. It just looks a little bit, or Flint, Michigan, or something like that. But it's not the water, is it? Remember when I got baptized? I came to Christ, and I was 22, changed my life, and I wanted to make a statement of my faith, so I got baptized, and then Karen and I got married, and when we had our night before the wedding, I was in my hotel at the Holiday Inn in Saginaw, Michigan, and my Irish Catholic relatives all broke into my room, my nephews and uncles, and they wrapped me up in all the blankets from my bed, and then they took me out, and they threw me in the Holiday Inn swimming pool. And I worked my way out of the blankets and everything. I came to the top thinking they were going to laugh. And when I came to the top, they all said, "Now you've been baptized 3 times, chump." Yeah. They made their statement. Sometimes it isn't an easy statement, but it's a worthwhile statement. By the way, many of my, I get along great with my relatives and stuff, and many have also made commitments of faith and trust in Christ. So it's a great thing, baptism, isn't it? It's a great thing. I love to have the way we do it here at our church. I got a great news for all of you. Great celebration. You might have forgotten, it's easy to forget, but when I was arrested, they took all 32 of our kids and they put them in different institutions. And it took us about 60 days to get all 31 of them out and home, and they've been doing well. But John Paul was 8 when he came to us, 10 when he got taken with all of us. And last Tuesday, after 2.5 years, 31 months, they called me, and he's going to be released from Children's Services. Isn't that great? Yeah. It's already been a great week for us. So John Paul, he came to me when he was 8, to Karen and I. Heather Miller, a friend of ours from Australia, missionary, said, "You got to take this boy in." I said, "Well, we're kind of full, and we're not looking at taking young ones," but she said, "Please, just take him." And he's just a wonderful kid. He's from the streets in Naga. He would go around and just try to get food wherever he could during the day. And then he'd sleep between the grate of the grocery store at night. They'd lock it there, and then between the window and the grate, he'd sleep in there at night, then get out in the morning and go around and see what he could get to eat. And she said, "He's special." So I said, "Okay, send him to us." So they put Tom Randall on the front with a piece of paper, Lucena City, and he came 10 hours on up the bus from Bicol, and they found it to our place, he found his way to our place somehow, and they got him there, and we dewormed him and deliced him, and he spoke Bicolano, which is not one that you speak all around the country, like Tagalog. It's kind of only for that area, and so we couldn't communicate with him at first, but it didn't take long. He loved to eat. And he was getting fed, and after a while, he started learning some words and everything. We could communicate, and so I said to him, "Do you want to stay? Because it's your choice, you know." And he said, "Oh my gosh!" And he said, "I get 3 meals a day. I have my own bed, and I have 31 brothers and sisters that I didn't have." He said, "Yes, and a dad and a mom. I think I'll stay." And so, John Paul, he went through a lot of fire. But he's come out, and the good thing about it, one day we were playing soccer, and at our place we play soccer, we have everybody plays, and you just get on a side, and you don't even know if they're equal size. You got 40 people out there running up and down playing soccer, so we also throw two or three soccer balls out there, because it's kind of hard with one, so there's balls going everywhere, people laughing and kicking balls, and John Paul would play a little, then he'd rest a little. He came over, and I was resting. He came over, sat in my lap, and you know what he said to me? I'll never forget. He said, "Daddy Tom," I said, "Yes." He says, "Are you Jesus?" I said, no, I'm not Jesus, but thank you for that compliment. And he figured, here's a guy who takes care of you, loves you, feeds you, and from what he'd learned about Jesus, that's a good compliment, isn't it? That I told him about who Jesus was, and he came to know Christ, you know, he took Christ with him when he went into that place and stayed so long. And the reason I'm telling you John Paul's story is just I couldn't wait to tell you about this good news. But also, he's a bit like the three Jewish guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who we're going to talk about today, who also were taken to another place, didn't know the language, the culture, had to assimilate, had to adapt, but they never left their faith behind. They took that with them, and they were able to survive all that they went through in Babylon because of their faith, including what we're going to talk about today, and that's the fiery furnace. This is our painting of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Does anybody know who this man is here? That'd be Jesus, yes. The great thing about Jesus is he goes into the furnace with us. He goes wherever we go, goes with us in our situations. These three guys, you know, they only asked all they had to do. They didn't make posters or protest or anything. All they did was not bow to the god of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't really do anything too terrible. But it was a line that they weren't going to cross in their faith. And some of that's happened to us today in our own country. We're getting to a point where they want us to cross so many compromising lines. And it's not like you make, even if you don't make a big fuss or anything, but if you don't even celebrate it and go with them, there's an anger. There's a tension and an anger. And that's what they dealt with. And so Nebuchadnezzar got mad. And let me tell you the story. It's here in Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can open up with me. Daniel chapter 3. It says, now if you are ready when you hear the sound of the music, you can fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. Chapter 3, verse 15, I'm sorry. Well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? It's kind of an arrogant thing to say, isn't it? The king, though, pictured himself as a god, I guess, himself. Who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. What an answer. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That would have got me mad too if I was the king, probably. Why do I have to answer to you? In Acts 5:29, I think it is, I just realized, they said to the Pharisees when they challenged them that, he said, who should we answer to God or should we answer to you? No, we will answer to God, not to man. And I think sometimes as Christians, we got to realize in our country, we don't have to be defensive about what we believe. Even when the aggressiveness from people who are critical or angry, we just have to calmly say, this is what we believe. And I like that about my faith, that it doesn't have to be a screaming match for me. I don't have to convince anyone. I just have to share and live my life out as a Christian. And many times that's enough for many people to come to a realization of their need. Anyway, off track, back on track. We do not have to answer to you in this matter. So the answer to God in this type of situation. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, even if he doesn't, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. What a great answer. What a courageous answer. Hope that all of us can do that as we work our way through life, that no matter what happens, I will trust in you. What did Job say? Though he slay me, I will trust in him. In fact, I just wrote this down back in Job's study a minute ago. Faithfulness means to obey God regardless of the feelings within us, the circumstances around us, or the consequences before us. We don't get a chance to choose when we suffer, only how. It's just amazing, I think, the way God protects us, but we have to know we're going to go through some difficulties. We're going to have some times when we get face the furnace like these guys did. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the furnace with Jesus. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against the three. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. He ordered some of his mighty men to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up the three. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then the king was astonished And he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men into the fire?" They answered, "O king, it's true." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." Ooh, things are changing here, aren't they? "Come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own." It's interesting that the king now is crediting them with the same thing he was going to put them to death for. Saying, "Wow, isn't it cool that they were courageous enough to not do my command? Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want to point something out here. A lot of my friends, when I have this Bible study to talk about, they go, "Oh, Tom, isn't that great? That'll teach them. They got torn limb from limb from limb." And I said, "No, that's not wonderful." And we as Christians do not live our life this way, that we want the other side to be torn limb from limb from limb, or their houses ruined, or disaster. We love people. We want them to come to Christ. And that's the misconception about our faith, isn't it? We live in a time now where people do have faith in religions where they believe if you don't, they are so aggressive, they will cut off your head. They will tear you limb from limb. They will kill you just because of the words that come out of your mouth, that you trust in Christ rather than what they believe. The king isn't making any great honorable deal here. The king is just recognizing the power of God. And he's thinking, in my political situation, I better respect this because this is a big deal. He would rather have used the power of God at this point in his life to help him in his situation than to be on the wrong side of God. But we as Christians, remember, we come to Christ because we offer a faith of love, of forgiveness, of inclusiveness. People can come and be a part of this wonderful faith. So, in the end, they got promoted. This picture is by Tina Perry, who's one of our supporters, and we lived next to them in Big Canoe for years in Georgia. And a wonderful, talented lady, as you can see. But Karen loves this picture, and so we got it from Tina, and it hangs in our living room. And because of all the things that we've been through, especially the last 2 years, we just love this picture because it shows a Christ who will come in the fire with us, who has come and wrapped his arms around us and fellowshipped and guided us and encouraged us and been our refuge and anchor for 2+ years after the incident we had. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are represented as the 3, obviously. A good example, I'm going to do a 3-point message here. Joe is going to be so proud of me. 3 points. When he's not around, I can really get into him, can't I? We're going to talk about being delivered from the fire, delivered through the fire, and delivered by the fire. Okay, those are the 3 things we're looking at here. These guys either had three scenarios that could happen because of their faith and the dedication they had to God. The first one is delivered from the fire. And what happens, the result of is when you're delivered from the fire, your faith is built up. Okay? So let's say somebody in here had cancer. And they thought, it's just terrible. They're going to have to go and get all this chemo and all of this thing. And it's 4th stage and they don't know if they're going to live. And then they go in for the treatment. They say, "Wait a minute, the cancer, we can't find the cancer. There must have been a mistake or it's gone." Or, dread, we could give God credit for healing someone. Yes. And what happens? You are delivered from the cancer. You are delivered from the fire. You don't even have to go into the fire. And we don't even know in this room how many experiences all of us have of when God has saved us from a tragedy or a problem that we didn't know about because he says, "I'm going to deliver them from it. They're not going to have to go through it." But he does do that. And when you are aware of it, it builds up your faith and encourages you how God is watching over you. So that's the first one. And the second one is delivered through the fire, and then the third delivered by the fire. Let me give an example of the first one, delivered from the fire. Shargam Niazi, an Iranian that I met 35 some years ago, had come out of the Iranian revolution when Ayatollah took over, Ayatollah Khomeini, and then he decided it was going to be a complete Muslim state again, fundamental. And so a lot of people escaped Iran because they didn't want to be under that type of a totalitarian regime. And so he came to the Philippines, as well as 600 other Iranians, to go to school there so they could be free, get their education, and maybe stay in the Philippines or go to another country. The problem is the Ayatollah was after everybody who was not for him, an Iranian. He would come after you. And so he sent people to the Philippines to kill those students. And in the Philippines, we got all our oil from Iran. So it was more convenient for the Philippines to look the other way than to investigate any of the killings of these students by the Iranian people who were agents who would come into the country. That's kind of the basis of the story. So Shargam Niazi was a Greco-Roman wrestler, medalist. And he came to the Philippines and he helped lead the student body. They were a group that were anti-Khomeini, that were just wanting to study in the Philippines. And they were having a get-together one day, all of them, and in Horseshoe Village down in Manila. And the agents of Khomeini came in to kill as many of them as they could, and they threw bombs and they threw grenades and they shot people. And so many lost their lives, and a lot of them headed for the hospital, which is Palamedic Hospital, which happened to be the hospital that I attended a lot. And Dr. Sarmiento and Dr. Sarmiento, who were my doctors and saved my life, also treated these guys when they came in. So they said to Shargam, him being the leader, Dr. Sarmiento says, I'm going to do this, and this is what's going to happen with these injuries. And he gave him all the news, and he said, listen, there can be peace, Shargam, in Christ Jesus. And Shargam says, oh, doc, please, I'm Muslim, I'm from Iran, don't tell me about peace. And listen, there's so many different ways and so many different religions, and we're just like you, except you have the Bible, we have the Quran, but peace is not something we deal with a lot. Which is true. And Doc says, listen, I'll do you a deal. He said, I will treat all of your students and your friends for free that are injured if you do me one favor. He said, sure, what is it? He said, take my Bible, just read it and compare it to your Quran. Just put them and compare one to the other and tell me if they're the same or not. Shargam said, for that type of offer, yes, I'll do it. And he went home and he compared them. And he read them both. The New Testament, reading his Quran, and he came back when they were getting the stitches out and taking care of everybody again for the follow-up. He says, Doc, you're right. There's a big difference. He says, I am fascinated by the love and character of this Jesus. Teach me more. And so Doc Sarmiento led him to Christ. And Shargam Niazi did the thing that you don't do in his situation. You give your life to Christ, get baptized. And now, not only was Ayatollah Khomeini and his men after him, but his friends that were Muslims in the Philippines were now mad at him and after him. Not one friend left in the world except Jesus and Dr. and Dr. Sarmiento. The Sarmientos were very politically connected just by birth, and I think their brother was a general, and so it was a lot of pressure on them at that point for this relationship. So he called me. He said, Tom, you got no political connections. You're a Christian. You're a basketball player. I need you to do me a favor. I said, Doc, I can do whatever. I mean, I'm indebted to you. Save my life. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. He said, I want you to get on your motorcycle and go down to Shargam Niazi's house. I'll give you the address, and I want you to disciple him. And I went, Doc, he's Iranian. He's Muslim. And I don't think he'd appreciate me coming to his door. He said, no, Tom, he's come to Christ. I led him to Christ. I said, wow. That would not be a good thing for him. He said, yeah. I said, Doc, I don't hate to be impolite, but I'm from Detroit. I would have to see that and hear it with my own ears. And he said, you will. I want you to go down there and disciple him. So I got on my motorcycle, and I went down into his little place where him and his wife were hiding from everybody, and hopefully nobody knew where they were. And I went in, and I said, my name's Tom Randall. He said, I am Shargam Niazi. He said, and thank you for helping me. He said, and I apologize. For what? I said, well, the tension between Iran and America and all the hostages for you that are younger, they took a lot of our hostages from the embassy many years ago, and it was a big deal. It was very painful for our country. And I said, and that was just near this time when I'm there. And I said, listen, let's forget about that, Shargam. Forget about politics. Forget you're an Iranian and I'm an American. Do you know Christ? And he said, yes. And I said, then we're good. And I began to disciple him and visit him. The problem is everybody wanted his life. And they tried to kill Shargam 3 times in Manila. The Iranians did, once with a bomb. And the third time was in a bank. And he was in the bank with his wife cashing a check. And 2 Iranians came in, Khomeini people. And he realized this is not good. So he sent his wife to the embassy. Thankfully, they didn't bother her for, you go this way. And then I'll go another way. And hopefully, they won't bother me too. Anyway, he was going out the other doors of the bank. And when he went outside, he realized here was a whole bunch of people, Iranians, ready to kill him with different weapons. And so they attacked him. Did I tell you he was a Greco-Roman wrestler? Yeah. So he was able to fend off a couple of guys. And I said, what'd you do? He said, well, I tried to go back in the bank. But the 2 guys in the bank, they slid a board through the door so it couldn't open. Now, inside the bank, you have armed security men and everything. So it's safe in the bank. But he had to get back in. I said, what'd you do? He said, I went through the window. Greco-Roman wrestler put his head down, went right through the window. Man, I don't know. Wasn't hurt. He said, they arrested all of us. The other guys got out within hours because of the political situation. He said, but I was 3 days. They held me and I just got out. And he said, Tom, I got to get out of the country. I got to take my wife who came to Christ also, and we got to get out. And I prayed. I asked everybody. I tried everything I could to get them out. And nobody wanted to touch it because it was such a politically hot situation. And, you know, the oil from Iran and the president wants this. Nobody wanted to touch it. Iranians dying, lots of them in the Philippines because of this. Anyway, here's what Shargam did. He took his passport and his wife's, which he couldn't get a visa from the Iranian embassy, the Philippine embassy, or the U.S. embassy. And he went to the airport without the visas. He bought a ticket for Sweden. He attempted to get on the plane in Manila. And when he went through immigration, the immigration officer stamped his passport, both him and his wife, and said nothing. He got on the plane. And when he got on the plane, he went to one country, got off and on, and they checked him, stamped it, got off and on, another one, and he kept going, and he went to Sweden. When he got off in Sweden, the first thing the immigration officer says, wait, these papers are not right. You shouldn't have got on this plane, gone here. You should have never got into Manila. And he said, yes, sir, I know that. He said, and my wife and I would like to declare political asylum. God covered the eyes of the immigration officers. And Shargam and his wife now live in Sweden, free, teaching Bible studies under a new name, doing dentistry. And they realized that God took him right from the fire. He had got, all of it was gone. When God does that, it builds up your faith. Can you imagine the people that got to come to his Bible study in Sweden over the years who have come to Christ? I haven't heard from him, seen him, talked to him since. But I know what God did. It's a wonderful Lord we have, and he comes into the fire with us. He doesn't just leave you out there hanging. When you feel the heat, and there's nobody in this room that hasn't felt the heat, the way to be unscathed, relationship with Christ, fellowshipping with him, realizing that we have 3 scenarios. One of them is being delivered from the fire. The second one is being delivered through the fire. And this means that you actually have to go through the whole thing. Karen, my wife, has gone through the fire. And what it's done, the result is it's refined her faith. And you can see that when you meet and talk with her and get to know her. She had cancer. And she had to go through the cancer, and she had to go through the treatments. And we went through that together, but it was a refining thing for our faith. She's been through the robberies at her house in Manila, the coup, 7 coups and a revolution, the earthquake, kidnapping attempts. The kidnapping attempt in Manila one day at the hotel, not too many years ago, just over 2 years ago. And they missed us by an hour, and we went off to Australia, and they were at the hotel bothering our relatives, looking for us, we'd come over. We've gone through the fire. She's especially gone through the fire. Imagine when your husband has been arrested twice for 25 to life. One time he gets from the fire, the second time he gets through the fire, and you go through it with him. She's done a lot of stuff. And it's a scene in her faith. because it's been refined, because we know this feeling. You know, no wonder she hangs this in our living room and looks at it all the time and loves it. It's because it reminds us of what God's done in our life to help us from the fire, deliver us from the fire, and delivered us through the fire many times. And he's done that for you too. And the last thing, of course, and this is the hard one, is always delivered by the fire, which means what they said, and even if he does not deliver us, O king, we will never bow down to your gods or your golden image. And I've seen that happen. My friend Billy Hyde down in Davao. I was up in Manila at the Manila airport. He was in Davao at the Davao airport when this happened. And yeah, of course, it went all over the news, but he was under a tent waiting for some people coming in on an airplane. And so were about 100 other Filipinos, because that's where it was dry. It was raining. And they had umbrellas waiting for people to come off the plane. And one of the Al-Qaeda guys, Muslim extremists in the Philippines, came up and put a bomb in there because there were so many people packed in. They could get a lot of people killed. Of course, they saw Billy is the only American, and they went right to him and they set the bomb right behind him. Sometimes we are a targeted people, Americans. Anyway, the bomb blew up and killed dozens of people. And Bill, he lived just a little few minutes, but it was long enough for his wife, Garlinda, to come and pray with him and have the privilege of ushering him into the kingdom of God. He was perfected by the fire. And I've had friends and peers in the mission field perfected by the fire, serving Jesus. There's an interesting stat right now I just read. It says 65.3 million people. This is the number of refugees, asylum seekers, and persons around the globe in 2015, a record high according to the United Nations. Wow, there's a lot of people going through the furnace. Don't you want to make sure Jesus is in there with you? Yeah, we do too. We do. Bonhoeffer says, every person, all of you and me, have a specifically custom-made, measured cross for us to bear. Custom-made for you. In other words, whatever you're going through that puts you in this furnace is different than the next person, this person. But the person who walks with you is the same. The person who is going to fellowship with you and cover you and either deliver you from it, deliver you through it, or deliver you by the fire is Jesus. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, I cannot confirm this for you. But for you that are in here and have put your life in Christ, you know you have those three scenarios, and every one of those is victory. Every one of those is encouraging. I love speaking at this church. Love being a member of this church. I can't wait to get up here whenever I'm called to on a Sunday. But I want to tell you, it's really been wonderful to go through this furnace of this prison thing, not just with Karen, but with you and with Joe and Karen Coffey, and realize that you have people that will love you and go through difficulties when you go through them. And we are here for that. That's what this church is for. You have Jesus. And you also have us. Appreciate that you will not cross over a line and compromise yourself just because somebody else tells you this is what you need to worship or this is what you need to change in your faith. This is a great time in our country for us just to live out our faith, because people know there is a difference when you do it. And believe it or not, even when they get angry, there's still a respect for people that will stand by what they believe. Thank you for doing that. And be encouraged. When you go through the fire, Jesus is with us. Always. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you for a wonderful Savior. I thank you for, Lord, even going through some fire, feeling the heat. And I pray for anyone in here that's feeling the heat today, whether it be relationships, divorce, financial problems, the death of a loved one, illnesses. Lord, so many things that we feel pressure from, tension from, the heat from, even in our own culture, when we are asked not only to agree, but to celebrate things that we do not believe are right. Help us, Lord, to lovingly go about the business of trusting you and not compromising. And as Job said, your great servant, though he slay me, I will trust in him. We love you. We thank you for all the things that you bless us with. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.